now, the man behind the voice you've been hearing for decades associated with Valley sports teams, ASU broadcaster Jeff Munn. It's time for That's So Money.
Hi there, and it's good to be with you again on Sports360AZ.com and however else you catch the audio offerings on this website. And it's, as I said, it's good to be with you and talking sports again here on That's So Money. Hey, I got a lot of things to get to today, and as I said, one of the things that really frustrates me about this podcast is it's a little one-sided. I don't get to hear from you. So if you're hearing this, I'd love to hear that you're actually listening. And if you have questions for me or things you want to debate with me about, I'd love to do a podcast sometime of just all input from Twitter. My handle is Moneyball. And there's my phone. In any event, you can see we do this pretty much as close to live as you can get. Send me a note. I would love to hear what's on your mind. And if there's things that you'd like to get my thoughts on and I'd like to get your thoughts on them, send them along to me because it makes the podcast a lot more interesting, frankly, for the both of us. But here we go into a plethora of things that are sitting on my desk at the moment. We're about to go into the NCAA tournament. And as you watch the tournament this year, whether you're watching the men's tournament, the women's tournament, the NIT, something to keep in mind, and it's really interesting. As you know, I've done the ASU women's basketball games on radio for the past 12 years. I love the game of basketball, and I have learned so much about the game from people on the women's side. Maura McHugh, the former ASU coach, is my analyst on the home games. And she's pointed out so many things to me that I, even as somebody who's been around basketball most of my life, that I never really thought of much. Here's one example. Maura pointed out to me earlier this year that when a team plays a zone defense, they're not able to rebound as effectively. And she would always tell her teams when they knew they were going to play a team that played a zone, she would remind her players, there's a lot of offensive rebounds available today if you just go get them. The other thing that I've learned from women's coaches, well, there's a lot of things I've learned from women's coaches, but I learned something really interesting and heard something that really made me think during last year's NCAA tournament. As you remember, I hope, ASU hosted first and second round games last year, and one of the teams that came in was from UALR. Now, they used to be known as Arkansas Little Rock. Then they changed their name to UALR. Now they're just known as Little Rock. So They've changed their name several times, but it's a great school, and it has a great women's basketball tradition. Joe Foley's the head coach, and he's been there for 12 seasons, has been to the NCAA tournament four times in his career at Little Rock. Last year, they came very close to knocking Arizona State out of the tournament in the second round. Very athletic team, one of those dangerous mid-majors that nobody wants to play in the tournament. He said something, yeah, I hear my phone's going off again. Maybe I should put it on vibrate. There it goes. One of the things that he pointed out last year, and it really got me to thinking, his team's very athletic, but they didn't depend on the three-point shot hardly at all. And he posed a rhetorical question in the press conference the day before they played Arizona State in the second round. He said, why is it that basketball has fallen out of love with the mid-range jump shot? He said, in a lot of ways, if you have really good shooters, a mid-range jump shot is almost as high percentage a shot as a layup. And he also pointed out that a lot of teams really don't put in the time to defend the wing jumper from about 15 feet. So he said, you're going to get an open look most of the time, and you're going to get a high percentage look at the hoop from that distance. And it really got me to thinking, it's like, he's absolutely right. If you look at any level of basketball, the NBA, major college, the women's game, the WNBA, there aren't that many players out there that really do spend a lot of time shooting 15-foot jump shots. And maybe they should. Yeah, the game, to some, has eroded into three-pointers and dunks. And with the success that Steph Curry has had, it's hard to argue with what he's doing out on the floor. But not everybody, in fact, nobody, can do what Steph Curry's been doing. But as you watch this tournament, you might want to focus on, or if you're one of these people that's doing an office pool and you absolutely have to have every last bit of knowledge, if you could dig deep and find out what a team's percentage is just on two-point shots alone, and in most cases, again, it's layups or dunks, but there's also going to be a little bit of wing jumpers, 15-footers, free-throw line jumpers that will be thrown into that mix. If there was some way to break that down, and you could figure out who was the best at shooting mid-range jump shots, you might have yourself a team that might surprise some people in the NCAA tournament. As I said, UALR was that kind of team last year, defeated Texas A&M in the first round, and came that close to knocking off Arizona State. Now, as we tape this, the selection show for the women is still a couple of days away, but the bracketology projections have had Arizona State solidly in a three-seed position, and if Charlie Crean's prediction is correct, they would play UC Riverside in the first round of the tournament, followed up by another first-round matchup between Tennessee and Texas El Paso. Now, I'm going to stop right there. If it's Tennessee, think about that. ASU and Tennessee in women's basketball in the second round of the NCAA tournament might draw a really big crowd. It would be a lot of fun. And Tennessee has really hit the skids by their own standards this year. A 5-seed in the NCAA tournament for Tennessee. Things are changing in women's college basketball. Stanford's probably going to go in as a 4-seed, and who would have thought that would ever happen? But a lot of schools around the country are starting to figure out that you can make a little bit of money at women's basketball, kind of the way they discovered it with baseball about 25, 30 years ago. You have to put money into it, and certainly that's the first step. The University of Arizona is figuring that out. They had a wonderful coach in Nia Butts, but they didn't invest a lot in the program, and she didn't win very much over 8 years. So they've made a coaching change, and now the question nationally is Arizona going to back up whatever they pay their new coach with a financial investment that will allow that coach to build up a big-time college basketball program? Now, the budget concerns at Arizona are real. They don't have even as much money as Arizona State has to spend on certain things. But it's been proven in a number of schools, in fact, a majority of schools, that if you have a successful women's basketball program, it will produce revenue. Obviously, between the Pac-12 network and ticket sales, Arizona State has been nothing close to a drain on the athletic budget over the years, and they've been very successful. And the public's responded. The crowds this year for a team that was in the top 10 most of the year, very, very strong. While I'm on the subject of ASU, I want to point out a couple of things. And again, this falls right in line with the mission statement of this website. Sports360AZ.com makes it a point to talk about local sports as often as possible. Well, I'm going to do the same, and I'm going to point out that a couple of ASU teams are really performing very well at the moment. First of all, we're a couple of weeks away as we tape this from the wrestling team, and I'm fiddling with my microphone here, the wrestling team going to the NCAA tournament. They are the NCAA championships, I should say. They're going to send 6 wrestlers to the NCAAs. And what really impresses me about what Zeke Jones has done is that you got to remember that program was about at the end of the trail a couple of years ago. In fact, they were about ready to close up shop financially. And what has happened since, and it's really Zeke Jones who's come in a very short period of time and done some phenomenal work getting this program back on its feet. I'm also told that there's an even bigger and better recruiting class coming in the next couple of years. In fact, a lot of really great recruits for Zeke Jones redshirted this year. The future for ASU wrestling looks really, really bright. And if you might remember, if you're a longtime Sun Devil, they did have an NCAA championship in wrestling back in 1988. So maybe good times are coming again for wrestling in terms of championships, and wouldn't that be great to see? Another team that's been doing really well, at least very early on in the season, is the ASU baseball team. Arizona State got 2 very important victories last week, or this past week, in California. Tracy Smith, the expectations for Arizona State nationally in baseball this year were not very high. And Tracy Smith put together a non-conference schedule that might, to some, appear to be reflective of that. Not as many nationally ranked opponents. Now, like a lot of years, the Pac-12 schedule will help take care of ASU's RPI concerns. But there have not been many what you would call heavyweights on the non-conference schedule. But there was one earlier this week when the Devils traveled to Fullerton to take on Cal State Fullerton, and they won both of those games. You might remember that's where ASU's season ended a year ago in an NCAA regional. Now, those two wins over Fullerton will do a lot for ASU's national ranking and their RPI. So a good start for a team that, to me, really might surprise some people. They have young pitching. It's good, but it's young. And they have the kind of offense that can scratch out enough runs to back that very good pitching. So I wouldn't be so quick to assume that it's going to be a quiet year at Phoenix Municipal Stadium. Far from it. I think it's got a chance to be just the opposite. Finally, I want to talk for a few minutes today about the draft. It's ironic to me that all four of the major professional sports leagues in the U.S. and Canada hold their respective drafts literally within 2 months of each, 2 months of each other. The NBA, NFL, NHL, and Major League Baseball all get their drafts done somewhere around close to the end of the academic year. The NFL, of course, in April or May, the NHL and NBA in June, and late in June, the Major League Baseball first-year player draft. This subject's come up a lot in relation to the Suns, and there was a perception for a long time that the Suns were really trying to avoid having a high draft pick. They wanted to get to the playoffs and keep the team competitive. Well, obviously, they, because of injuries, among other things, they haven't had quite the season that they'd hoped for. As a result, and through other trades, they do have a very high draft pick coming this year, and the GM that drafted Alex Len and Devin Booker, he's got multiple first-round draft picks to work with the next couple of years. I mean, if it was me, I'd let that general manager, and obviously we're talking about Ryan McDonough, I'd let him stay right there where he is and see what he could do with all those high draft picks, first-round picks coming the next couple of years. It's a long rebuild, and it's not fun to go through, but the payoff is pretty huge down the road if you just stick with the plan. And it sounds to me like Robert Sarver and the Suns management are sticking to the plan. And he said earlier this week in his interview with Paul Coro of AZ Central that he is starting to feel a lot more comfortable with the direction things are going. Now, what I wanted to talk to you about is there are several things that a draft or draft picks can do for a general manager of a team. Now, in the NFL, NBA, and to a lesser extent, the NHL, draft picks are a bargaining chip. You don't see that as much in the NHL because it operates a lot like baseball with farm systems. But in the NFL and NBA, certainly draft picks are a bargaining chip to make trades. And as it relates to Major League Baseball, and I know there's been a concern lately with the fact that the Diamondbacks have traded away their first-round picks, and in the case of Dansby Swanson, the first overall pick from the last two drafts, they sent Touki Toussaint to Atlanta as a payroll reduction move, including Bronson Arroyo's contract. They did get Phil Gosselin out of the deal, and Gosselin could turn into a pretty productive player for the D-backs. And then they also made that mega deal to get Shelby Miller out of Atlanta, the deal that included Dansby Swanson. There's a terrific book, it's been about 10, 12 years since it was published, called Scout's Honor, and it's about the Braves farm system. And in it, the author talks about the fact that one of the functions of a farm system, or in effect, your draft picks, or the players you draft, is to give the general manager players that he can put together in a trade to help the major league roster. It's always a little painful to me as a guy who grew up watching the Dodgers, rooting for the Dodgers, and you're talking about that period in the late 70s and early 80s when they seemed to have a rookie of the year candidate every year, that it's always difficult to kind of watch a team trade away its draft picks. But again, keep in mind that the draft or the farm system works as a tool for the general manager, whose ultimate responsibility is to put the best 25-man roster at the major league level on the field. So while it may be painful to see a guy like Dansby Swanson move on to Atlanta, keep in mind why that deal was made. It was a deal to bring Shelby Miller in, and it was a deal that was designed to make the major league roster better. Hopefully, that's the way it turns out. By the way, speaking of the draft, that third round, or number three pick for the Coyotes in the first round, that wasn't too bad. And while they may not make the playoffs this year, Don Maloney, who knows a thing or two about building a hockey team, will get another high draft pick and continue to build the franchise up. For the Cardinals, of course, it's a totally different deal. Coming off an NFC Championship game appearance, their first-round pick is low. Steve Keim, the general manager, who obviously knows an awful lot about the draft from his days as a scout, my suspicion is that he will try to go for a defensive lineman. There, in this day and age in the NFL, the three most important positions, quarterback, wide receiver, defensive end. You have to be able to throw the ball effectively, and on defense, you have to be able to rush the passer. I have no doubt Steve Keim is looking at all three of those areas, in particular the defensive line, because where he is right now with his roster, he's got a championship club on his hands. And while we'd all like to see them start to prepare for the next eras in terms of a quarterback, they get a chance to go for it right now. And that leads to another saying that I've heard over the years in baseball. When you get a chance to go for it, you go for it. Now, you've got a chance to go check out a lot of things on this website, and I've been really impressed with the things that I've seen here lately at sports360az.com. I mean, we're into March, and there's so much football content, you probably wouldn't get it through it all if you tried. But from high schools to football recruiting to spring football, they got you covered every way imaginable. And, of course, Brad's got his football show. Now he has his baseball show. And they do the same kind of coverage for high schools and baseball and basketball. They were at every one of the state tournament games in basketball. I mean, that's amazing because that high school state tournament is spread out to a lot of places. But they get there. So you want to know what's going on in sports locally? This is the place to check it out. I'll be back soon with another list of random thoughts. But I mean it now. If you have things you want to talk about with me, send me a message on Twitter. It's at Moneyball. And I will visit with you again on this podcast soon. Thanks for listening.